Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Radio is a wonderful way to share the gospel. If you look back in the history of radio, you'll find out some ministries, some preachers that found this means of just a great way to share, and it's still being used of God. Television is being used of God. The internet's being used of God. Podcast, all of this. It's amazing what God is using in declaring His glory to all the nations of the world. But one of the ways it's been around for quite some time is the printed page. Now, it doesn't get quite as much glory as from others as I think it shows glory to the Lord. But still, there's those tracts that can be left at certain locations, like at a dinner table after you've eaten and you put your tip down and you leave a little track there. Or you can go on a trip and you go to the counter and you pay, and all of a sudden you not just leave the money, but on the side you leave a track so somebody might pick it up. And so, yes, there's a means of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and tracts is one of the ways. Nathan, years ago, when you were still at home and your two brothers was with us, we went on a trip out west all the way to California, and I had in my possession a bunch of tracts, and I left them at different places. And one of the stories, I left it in one of the restrooms, and I just left it there on the counter. And about a year later, I heard this testimony on Dr. Dobson's program about a guy that got saved by reading a tract that was left in the restroom. Now, it wasn't the same one. It wasn't the same one. I know that. But it encouraged me, hey, somebody may have gotten a hold of that tract. We might not have heard the rest of the story. But the written truth of who Jesus Christ is still powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We have a lot of different types of people in the world who learn through different means, and there's still lots of literate, written word, preferential learners. This might be fewer than you think, but I'm one of those who prefers to read or prefers to learn by reading, and so the written word is important to me, and there's a lot of people who it's important to. It's also interesting to note that people who read these days, a paper book will only read just a small portion of it before they put it down. So it kind of gives you an indication that written words can be important, but maybe they hold our attention less than what they should. So a small tract like booklet might be the most appropriate means for some people to hear the gospel and to read that and to read God's truth. I'm thinking of a story also related to distributing tracts. Some friends of mine went on a mission trip to Nepal in South Asia, and their local church planter missionary, who's from Nepal, was also a trekking guide, was leading them up a mountain road in a car, and as he's driving, he sees a Nepalese hiker on the side of the road, hiking his way up the road, and he says, "Quick, reach in that box in the back seat of the car, roll down the window, and throw a handful of those tracts out." And they thought that was a little bit weird, but they complied with what he said. Later, they asked him, like, why did we do that? Why did we throw a bunch of tracts at this guy walking up the street? He said, "That's how I came to know Jesus. I was hiking up this very same road. Somebody drove by me and threw some tracts out on the road at my feet. I picked one up and read it, and that's how I came to know Jesus."
Okay, cast your bread into the water and it'll come back to you. Cast those tracts into the wind and they'll get somebody. Listen, we're saying this because it is important. Two people that I've pastored, every time I got a card, Janie and I got a card from them, there's a track on the inside, Nathan. I mean, they gave it to me to bless me, to encourage me. And so tracts can lead to the gospel, but it also can lead to a discouraged follower of Christ seeing the hope that we have in Christ. So the written word, still powerful, powerful tool in the hands of God.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to, as witnesses of the gospel, we are witnesses of Jesus wherever we go, whatever we do, to not put certain means of sharing the gospel below us. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We should not see ourselves as better than certain ways of doing things. Yeah, we need to be smart and we need to be strategic and we need to be faithful in doing things correctly in the right way. But there are right ways of sharing tracts with people. I'm thinking of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. And Paul says, to the weak I become weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may by all means save some. We don't need to automatically put some means below us. We need to be faithful in sharing the gospel.
So let God use you, and I hope you enjoy this interview that will bless and encourage you as a follower of Christ. Ever so often, we get to have guests that return to Exploring Missions, and that's the case today. And we're excited about it because we have people that did not listen the first time, and so it's new for them. But for others, it's an update, and it might be a reminder from God, hey, I need to remember them in prayer and even help them financially. So we're glad to have with us the president of the Gospel Tract Society, Phil Buttram. Phil, thank you for coming to Exploring Missions.
Oh, praise God. It's my blessing to be down with the wonderful people here today. It's just, I love you guys. You're a blessing. I cherish it.
Well, that's what we want to be. We want to be a blessing. Our part of our motto, our goals, and our motto is to help the church in carrying out the Great Commission in the United States, but also around the world. And Exploring Missions plays a big part of that because we're able to talk to people that are from local, but their ministry reaches around the world, and we get to talk to people like you who are ministering, and we get to visit with you and sit down with you and chat with you, and that's all this is. We just have a good conversation on Exploring Missions.
Anytime the family gets together is a good time. Our model, Dad put this in years ago, was, in fact, it's on our letterhead and a lot of material, to all the world, to every creature, through the printed page. And that's what we strive to do, is get God's Word in a printed form. And we print in several languages, you know, mainly English. Our amazing gospel comic book is in 8 different languages. And wherever there's a need, we would look for a translator and translate a single piece or a series of tracts, because the harvest field is all over the world. It's just not in the U.S. It's just not in the United Kingdom. It's Central America, South America. It's just all over. And we want to be a part of it.
You know, that's, I think, a lot of Christians in America, have tunnel vision.
Oh,
and
yes.
We view the world only what's going on in our area or even our country. And one of the men, and I've referred to him quite often, he was a mentor of mine, Dr. Bobby Moore. He was a pastor up in the Memphis, Tennessee area. And he prayed for me when I was younger, give Bert a vision for the world.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that touched my life, and he did. And then the co-host of this program, Nathan, God used him to help me grow in the world missions vision that I have today. And so that usually comes by handing it off. Paul, he had that vision, but he took Timothy with him, and he would take Titus with him.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you had more than one or two guys, Barnabas and Paul. You had Silas. You had Timothy.
It grows. It spreads.
Isn't that great?
It spreads. Absolutely, it spreads. God will call, let's say, one person, and then it will be mentoring out. It spreads. The gospel will spread. I know Dad was studying to be a missionary in China when he was, he's in the 20s. And he was on his face at the altar in a little Baptist church. And God spoke to him and said, Lester, print my word. And Dad said, no. I'm going to China. I'm called to China. The guy said, no, print my word. God, you don't understand. I'm going to China. And this went on for a while. And finally, Dad said, okay, I'll do that. Okay, print my word. Don't charge for it. That was the night. that Gospel Tract Society was born. And it has gone all over the world. And we support missionaries whenever we can. We're non-denominational. So, you know, I don't care what hat a guy's wearing. If he's preaching and ministering the Word of God, praise God, he's got my support.
Amen. Here on Exploring Missions, that's one of the joys that we have, is talking to people from different denominations, but they have this in common. It is, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is real, it is truth, it is authoritative.
It is alive.
It is alive. And so when you have that in mind, it usually means if you have a high view of Scripture, guess what you're going to do with life? Oh, yeah, life is important. Yeah. Marriage, it's what the Bible says, marriage.
The values are there.
When you have a high view of Scripture, it really sets the table for all the moral issues that we're facing today. Yeah.
The higher view you have of Scripture, the more passionate you will be about the Scripture.
Amen.
And the more passionate you'll be about the Scripture, the more passionate you're going to be about the souls. Dad was at a religious meeting in Kingston, Jamaica, back in the 60s, and there was a pastor there from Haiti. You were talking about Haiti earlier today. And he said, Pastor Lester, come over and, you know, see our churches and see our call. Well, Dad wasn't too happy, but, you know, he talked him into it. So Dad went to Haiti and felt a burden for the poor people, the good people of Haiti. I mean, right now, Haiti is in shambles. It's a disaster. But there are beautiful people in Haiti. And he went to the mountains, and Dad said he was laying in a chicken coop at 2 o'clock in the morning because there was no hotels or lodging. The local pastor had some mats and laid in the mats in the chicken pen, put the chickens in the house, and Dad is laying there at 2 o'clock in the morning on the mat among the chicken poop. And he's looking up through the screen fencing overhead at a clear sky. He said, God, I'm 65 years old. Why would you call me to a mission field of Haiti? And he said, just as clear as the sky was, God spoke to him and said, Lester, it's because you will hear and follow my voice. That was the start of our missionary reach in Haiti. In fact, just about 2 years ago, we have started and fostered over 60 churches, which served as schools. We started an orphanage, started a Bible school. And that one call, who knows how many Haitians came to know the Lord. Besides coming to know the Lord, we help feed them, clothe them, teach them the Word of God. The fruits we will know in heaven. A dying people, a hurting people, needs a Christian, needs someone with boots on the ground that loves them and say, okay, how can I help you? Yep. Not just spiritually, but physically. It's tough. It's a hard road to hoe.
It is. And we brought Haiti up because right now we're recording this. And during this period of time, we have Americans there, and many of them were believers and trying to help people. And they're there stuck,
they're
and
trapped.
Now the streets are wild with the gangs. So we're praying for Haiti right now. And I have a feeling even when this program airs, Haiti will still be in difficulty. So I hope you'll be praying for Haiti. The last time you were here, y'all were about to go down there and take Bibles to churches.
Oh.
So the work continues.
Yes.
And right now, you guys, they're requesting some material, but you don't know how to get it to them, right?
Right. Last week, I received an email from a pastor in Haiti, and he was asking for it. He knew we'd been down there, the work we've done. He was asking for Bibles and tracts. We have tracts in Creole and in French. And I don't know how to respond to him because I don't know how to get the material down there. You know, we have our goal and thrust is salvation, and missions are part of salvation. So it's there. I don't know how I can get the material. You know, the airports are closed.
Yes.
You can't get anything in. And if you get it to the country, with all that's going on, it may not make to the individual.
Exactly.
It may be hijacked and sold on the streets to some gang or some guard, military.
So we're making it a matter of prayer. And Phil and I are praying right now, this week, while we're recording. But those of you that are listening to this, pray for Haiti.
Absolutely.
And pray that the gospel will be able to continue.
Amen.
Because it's got a foothold there, and there are believers there. So we're thanking God that God's going to do a great work there. Your goal, you've already kind of presented that, but I want to hone in on it, is print the Bible. Print the Word of God and
Amen.
Give it to people.
Amen.
You guys have been faithful to that goal from the very beginning, even until today.
98 years last month. And we have, you know, we're not supported by a denomination, a major church. We have some churches that support us at the order tracks, but most of our support comes from mom and pop, from people who have their own street ministry or jail ministry or hospital ministry. They are the sole support of this ministry. And I, you know, we don't have a big edifice, you know, great building, but God has blessed us. God has met every need over and over again. And I make sure that everything that we print is pure Bible. Sometimes there's a story associated, but if it's something slated for salvation, it will have the scriptures in there that a person can read it by themselves, and the Holy Spirit has the tools to save that person. And everything we do is Bible-based. We're 501, but we don't put our own doctrine, man's doctrine. It is strictly the Word of God. Our goal is for, as any Christian should be, salvation of the lost. Our second goal is to minister to the saints. The world is in such a mess. It's dark out there. And fellow believers, we like in the chapel this morning, they're hurting, they're discouraged, they're wounded, they're sick, they're facing bankruptcy. All these things are coming against the church. So we want to encourage them, hey, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. There is hope in Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus is there. The Word is true. The Word will not come back void. We put the Word out. And so we want to encourage those dear people. And then there's some elderly people. We want to be a comfort to them. They can't get out. God bless them. They, you know, God bless them. God love them. God still wants their fellowship, wants communion with them.
Amen. One of the neatest sermon outlines I ever heard, and it goes along when you were telling about your goals, it really registered with me. There's three things the church and ministries ought to do. Love the sinners.
Yes.
Love the saints.
Yes.
And love the Savior.
Yeah.
The SSS. Yes. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
And when we do that, listen, God is blessed. The Bible says they'll know that you're Christians because you love one another.
Yeah.
And what you guys are doing, trying to go over, quote, denominational lines, but hold to the scriptures, speaks loudly and clearly.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of humility that takes that, because you don't want your pride to be built up and say, well, I think this. Well, really, it doesn't matter what I think. If it's not straight out of the Word of God, is it, Phil? It
doesn't matter. So many times I said this, and I tell myself this, to stay humble, not to be humble, but it's not about me. It's not about my daddy. It's not about Gospel Tract Society. It's about my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And I have learned that if I will humble, He will give me the words to say. He will give me the words to type. When I sat down to write, we have a monthly letter. When I sat down to write a tract or a letter, I go before the Lord. I could write all day long. I used to be a writer. I was a writer, freelance writer for a professional aviation magazine. I've had 35 lead national articles. I realize now that God spoke to me about how to fly an airplane, how to critique it. But now God speaks to me about God, about encouraging people, about, hey, days are dark. It's time for us to be about our Father's business, whether it's in our house, in our neighborhood, at work, at church, in our nation. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be about our Father's business. Like I said this morning, I don't want to stand before Jesus and Him say, wait a minute, you didn't talk to Bill Brown last week. He's not saved. I don't want the blood of other people's on my hands.
Wow.
I want to stand before Jesus and Him say, well done, my Amen. Good and faithful servant. Amen. Enter into your rest. I'm accountable. We're all accountable for the opportunities that we are given. I want to make the best of every opportunity. That's why I'm here. I got things to do back in Missouri. I got a farm to work on. It's springtime. I got ground to work up. But I want to be about my Father's business.
Well, we're glad you came to Northeast Mississippi. You can go back to Missouri and take care of that. But let me, you said something that really is important. Although you print, you have a website.
Yes, we do.
And I went on the website to look, and there's a lot of information there. Those letters, they're there. And you are quite a writer with, I could say, about four or five sentences and I would be through. I tell folks I am not a writer. I'm a talker, well, but I'm not a writer.
I say many times, anything that good comes from me, my computer, is not of me, it's of my Father. Because I know what I can do. I mess it up. I've been there, I've done that. You know, I was an electronic engineer for years. I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses. But I know in my weaknesses, I know where to go.
Yeah.
There have been times I've had an electronic problem out in the, I was a service engineer, and I did everything I needed to do. I could not do any more. And I would step back from the equipment, and I had this one customer, and he said, "Buttram, what are you doing?" I said, "Excuse me, Fred, I'm praying. I'll be with you in a minute." In that moment of silence, God showed me the one thing in that entire box of equipment that I had overlooked. And I went and I pulled it, I tore it apart, and this little tiny part was blown apart. I replaced that, everything worked. God has blessed me. He blesses me in the writing. If it's in my words, I don't want to print it.
Yeah.
You know, there are many times I've been at a deadline and I refuse to write something because I didn't have the direction of God.
Well, you know, we know we need God with our weaknesses.
Yes.
But we desperately need God with our strengths, because what they'll do, they'll build, if we don't, it'll build up pride in us.
Yes, good
point. It will build up, and it's our own strength and not the power of God through our strength.
Absolutely.
And that's what really works. And you've told us a little bit about the history, and it's your dad founded it, but then you had a brother that was working as president before you took over, did you not?
Actually, there's a couple more things in there. After Dad passed, Mom was director.
Okay.
She was a mighty mighty servant of God.
Yeah.
She died of a broken heart. She loved Daddy so much. Yeah. After she passed, my oldest brother became the director. And he was director for quite a few years. He died of diabetes. And so I had three older brothers and three young sisters. Okay. So my brother right above me was director for years. And God told him, after he was in there 17 years, what it was, and he said, "Tom, I want you," my brother's coming out of the shower, and God spoke to him, "Tom, I want you to resign and offer the ministry to Philip." Well, by this time, and this has just been, you know, 10, 12 years ago, you know, I had my career, my multiple careers, and he said, you want to take over the business? No, I got an appointment uptown here in 30 minutes. I got to go. Well, the sweet helpmate that God gave me said, "Hun, if you don't quit your job and take this in 5 years, you regret it." Oh, she's right. She's right. Yeah. God bless. I love her. And so I quit a job. In every job that I've had, God has promoted me above my talent and my ability. Okay. When I became the director, quote, president, GTS, I won't say I was ready for it. I was ready for to follow God. And it took a couple years for me to realize that it was a calling. I had a passion for God, you know, since I was 10. But I didn't know I had a calling for God until just 8 years ago. And when the passion and the calling married, my life changed. I said, "God, what do I need to do to make this thing right, you know, to go deeper?" And he said, "Humble yourself before me." How do I humble myself? God showed me that I had to humble myself physically. I literally got down on the carpet in my office and I cried for days before him. And once I got rid of the success that I had, you know, I was an airline pilot, I was this, I was that. Once I got rid of all that stuff, emptied it, the Holy Spirit moved in full.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Changed. And I had people write me and say, "You know, Philip, your writings have changed." No, I'm now listening to the Holy Spirit more.
You know, it's hard to be full of the Spirit when we're full of self.
Oh, my.
So that's the reason Paul talked about crucifixion of self.
And that's right.
Guess who else has to do that? You know,
everybody.
Well, time's coming to a close. I want to know this. How can we pray for the Gospel Tract Society?
We always need financial support.
Okay.
You know, since we're not supported by anybody or any organization, you know, we don't have grants. It's all by the free will offering of donations by church members, people who are in the field. Some people order and don't give. Some people order and give. Some people give and don't order. God always meets the needs, okay? God is expanding us. I recently started doing some blogs and some broadcasts for the webpage, which is incidentally gospeltractsociety.org. And it's being well received because it is God doing it, okay? So I need prayers personally to stay with God, not get ahead of God. We have some staffing vacancies that need to be filled, and I need workers in the field, in the harvest field. They will say, okay, I need to be about my Father's business. I need to carry gospel tracts with me every place I go, okay? We need to unite as in a battlefront.
Amen.
Warriors going for the kingdom. And I can't go to, you know, India, I can't go to, you know, Russia and these places, but we can print material and send to people who are going or who are there, okay? So I need people in the field. I need harvesters in the field. I need support. I had a request 2 weeks ago from a gentleman, a brand new church in the UK. He ordered 700,000 gospel tracts. And I thought, Lord, I can't afford to ship that many, much less print that many. How do I do that? I don't have the answer yet. But his letter, in fact, I got his letter, you know, back at the hotel. We are going to do something for that young church. I don't know what. But God is moving. God is calling people unto him. We need to be able to print millions and millions more material. It takes time. It takes money. It takes staffing. That's what I need prayer for.
Okay. And people can get a hold of you on the website, gospeltractsociety.org.
They can order. They can look at the tracts. They can read the tracts. They can send a donation. They can send a prayer request. They can send an email. It's all done on the webpage. It's all possible.
Well, Phil, I want to thank you for being with us again.
Praise
the update
God.
Is great. In about another year, come back to Northeast Mississippi, and we'll do this again.
If not sooner.
Yeah, and see how God got that done in the UK and how he's going to get it to Haiti.
Amen.
As well.
He will.
That's
he
what
will.
We're praying for.
Amen.
Thank you again for being with us.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on American Family Radio.